Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just joining on the junkies, yeah, it's bit season, what a time to be alive, bit season, couple of regular guys, it's bit season, go have yourself a laugh, it's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's up? Episode 40 of Bit Season is here. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
And I'm Ryan the Stallion.
Great week so far on the Junkies. EB is back. He was on vacation last week. He provided some extra energy to the guys this week. And a lot of non-sports rolling off.
We learned some nuggets about EB this week, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, yeah. EB's been a bit of a chatterbox
I know.
This week.
Sent him out on vacation. He comes back all ramped up. Has a bunch of stories for us.
I do like it when EB's extra energized after a few days off.
Yeah, he is like that. Where he recharges and then all of a sudden he brings the goods. It's kind of weird. When he gets like lethargic and down, it's kind of like blah. It's like ho hum. It's almost like he has one foot out the door. But when he comes back from vacation, he is ramped up, and I love it.
I got to give the guys credit about today's show. I think Valdez and I have been long opponents of Open Line Thursday, and I think they made it work today. I think the show today was really fun.
It was a better Open Line Thursday than usual.
Now, I think the reason why is because this is the middle of summer. It is bit season, and there's not a lot going on. When they want to do Open Line Thursday on October 15th, you know, and the Commanders have a game on the Thursday night or something like that, and they're like, hey, it's Open Line Thursday.
Yeah, just call about the game.
Call whatever you want, about whatever you want. That's what tilts me. And I think it doesn't have a lot of direction, but for whatever reason, listeners were into it today. The guys were telling some good stories. I thought today's show flowed well, and I enjoyed it. We were laughing a lot.
We definitely were. Hey, what do you think about Big John as a caller?
Terrible.
All right. I'm not the only one.
Well, it's my fault. Also, I don't know why he's calling. I'm still trying to figure this out, and I screen him out a lot of the times. And Ryan, I don't think you maybe haven't heard it yet. He called this morning like 6:10 a.m., and it was another horrific call. And he called yesterday. And
he
called yesterday I guess he thinks that he can just call on any segment and get on.
He has that type of leeway.
Like he's, I don't know, Rom or something. Even Rom doesn't have that. Nobody really has that. Maybe John DePompa.
Do you think maybe that, I started thinking about this today because every time he calls, he's doing a plug for whatever gig he has going on. Do you think he's telling these people that he has that he's able to promote the club on the show and stuff like that?
I think it's possible. So he called on Wednesday, right? And as soon as he started talking, I'm like, hey, John, what do you want to talk about? He goes, oh, I just have a life update for the guys or something like that, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I go, well, it's Wednesday. It's not going to work. Call back tomorrow, all right? And full well knowing that I was going to blow him off on Thursday because we weren't going to put calls through, but the calls were hot. Yeah. And so they were coming in. And
you kept feeding the hot hand. The callers were the hot hand. Yeah, you had to keep giving them the rock.
So I'm like, all right, John, what's your life update? And he goes, well, I have a show in Delaware tonight or this weekend, whatever the hell he was promoting. And I'm like, that's not really a life update, but you want to promote a show? And he goes, no, I don't want to promote a show because no one's going to come to Delaware anyways. So I'm like, so why are you calling? And then he goes, well, last night I won $1,200 at the poker table. And I'm like, well, why did you call yesterday then? If that was last night, like, you literally have nothing to offer when you call us.
I swear he's doing the bit where he's
promising mentions.
He's promising mentions to the clubs.
He should stop doing that.
And then the clubs, it's kind of like a cherry on top. Where he goes, I'm going to call the junks.
That's kind of the funny bit, though, where it's like he calls in and he's just got nothing.
I know, but why didn't he call in with an opinion on something? I'd be much more like, I just want you to have a take and don't suck, Jim Rome. Like, I just want you to call in. Like, when the guys call in, I always know this. When someone calls in, they always say, hey, what do the junkies think of, tennis player Nick Kyrgios, right? And I'm like, well, what do you think of Nick Kyrgios? And he goes, I think he's an asshole. I think he's a showboat. I think the guy should be kicked out of Wimbledon or something like that. And I'm like, all right, why don't you just say that when you call in? You don't have to ask the junkie's opinion on something. Just tell him like how you feel about something, because it's better radio.
I remember screening calls. One of the things I hated is when you pick up, you go, hey, junkies, and the guy goes, I want to talk to the guys. I know. Then you got to do a whole thing like you're pulling teeth with them. One's the worst. I want to talk to the guy.
That is definitely up there. And then the open line Thursday, where the caller who thinks it's it's an open gate.
Yeah, right? Open edition.
Yeah, like, hey, it's open line Thursday. Can you put me on? I don't know. Are you going to have something interesting to say? I don't know.
The thing that ricks me the most is the call, like the listeners that have the hotline number that call in on the hotline. Whoa, 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 whoa. Not for the junkies. I'm just saying in general.
Well, hold on. Ryan May just stepped in something. You guys are giving the hotline out to listeners?
I haven't been giving out the hotline to anybody. That's what I'm trying to say is people call the hotline.
How would they know the hotline number?
I don't know. Like, I'm not giving them out.
Write a name down.
What do you say when you pick up on them and they call the
hotline?
There
are a couple listeners that know it. I think Rom knows it.
I think John DePompa knows it. Hold on.
No way.
Yes. Hold on. Yes.
Let me see.
Yes.
How does that person have it?
I don't know. I'm telling you. Yes, that person has it and calls the hotline. It's a routine.
I can't get that person out of my life.
I know.
I've been trying for a long time.
It happened this week.
Ugh, I'm going to get to the bottom of that.
We're gonna do 20 questions around here and see who's to blame.
I know. It's all right. We'll figure it out.
Hey, you know what I loved about today's show?
What's that?
Is that JP was not afraid to like throw his wife under the bus a little bit.
I know. Normally he's very protective of her and their in their family, how they do things as a family. You kind of got to walk around on eggshells with them, because even though you're just doing some light joning, JP can take it pretty seriously when you talk about his family.
I noticed that too. And so that's what made me think that it really ricked him when his wife is hiring somebody to do the
the
training.
He's a tightwad. And she donked off $100 on something he could do himself.
Do you think that's the main thing about why he was not angry, yes, but why he was joning so much? Is not necessary. It was more so the money than it is having someone teach his daughter to ride a bike.
Yeah, if you missed today's segment and you haven't heard it quite yet, JP went for a walk last night, or he was talking to one of his neighbors. His neighbors casually mentioned, I guess this was two nights ago, casually mentioned that he hired a bike whisperer, someone in the industry, to train his daughter how to ride a bike in an hour.
Yeah, it's something that you do as a dad, where you take your kid and you help them up when they fall down, but you teach your kid how to ride a bike. And this person comes in like an expert, like a bat out of hell, and then all of a sudden has you doing kick flips and tail spins and peg grinding with your bike.
Nah, it's, I don't think it's all that. But
yeah. I was trying to think of a BMX guy from the X Games. Wasn't like a David Hoffman or something like that? Isn't that a famous BMXer?
I think you're right on that.
His name's David Hoffman. Mm-hmm. I know there's a Hoffman. I'm not up to speed on my BMX celebrities.
Matt Hoffman? It might be Matt Hoffman.
It might be. Matt sounds more familiar. So JP then comes home from work on Wednesday, and he finds out that his wife booked the bicycle whisper to train. The bike whisper to train Isabella how to ride a bicycle when JP had been working with her in the grass, in the dirt for a couple times, and they weren't quite getting it yet. And Jess decided to bail and hire the professional.
There's lots of layers to this.
As a dad, it's emasculating. As a husband, it's emasculating.
Right?
Right.
That's why.
But I think the number one thing, overall thing, is that he donked off $100 when he didn't have to.
He's more mad at the $100 than he is about being emasculated.
I agree with that.
I think the bike cuckold situation would be more. Make me better.
I see everyone on Twitter calling the bike cuckold because another man's coming in.
Yeah, because I like the thought of another man coming in and you're sitting there on a little stool watching your daughter ride a bike with some stranger.
I just didn't know the teaching part of riding a bike was that hard.
It doesn't seem that hard. You just put them on the bike, right?
That's what I don't understand. I can understand riding a bike for a child is difficult because you've never learned to balance like that before. But that just takes practice. I don't know, understand what the teaching part is. Hey, sit on the bicycle and ride it.
It's so simple you can't even teach them. Like, you just tell them to put your foot on the pedal and you just keep going.
I don't know. Is there a trick to hopping on the bike that we don't know?
I haven't looked into bicycle training in a long time.
Do you remember when you learned how to ride a bike?
No. I don't, because I was about 4 years old.
I remember it vividly.
Same. How do you guys remember?
Because
I have a vague memory of me taking a wobbly ride. That's about it.
I just remember I had training wheels and I was riding around the neighborhood. And then my dad says, "Hey, Matt, come here." And then I take the bike to him. And then he goes and he just unscrews the training wheels off. Then he goes, "Here, why don't you try riding it like this?" And then all of a sudden, I got on it, and I just started riding it. I didn't fall or anything.
That's not true. That's not true. You're just making things up.
I did not fall. And then
you remember every detail when you were 5 years old.
I remember every detail about my bike and everything. It was silver and black bike. And then all of a sudden, I was wobbly at first, but I did not fall. Like, if I felt like I was going to fall, I put my foot on the ground. And then it took me about 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden, my dad was tinkering with his car in the driveway. And all of a sudden, I speed by him like I'm a speed racer. And I'm doing fishtails and leaving skid marks on the road. I swear to God.
Now, see, this is why we're saying that teaching your kid how to ride a bike is such a big deal. Valdez still remembers that.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like his dad taught him.
No,
sounds like his dad threw him into the fire.
I'm such an elite athlete.
I knew where this is going.
I picked it up so easily, and then all of a sudden I was doing bunny hops and everything. A week later,
I think this is the earliest in anyone's life someone's bragged about being an athlete. When they were 4 years old, learned to ride a bike.
Not necessarily being an athlete. I think it's just having great spatial awareness and having great balance.
If that's true, congratulations to you.
Why are you trying to discredit my...
Well, I just don't think it's possible, but...
Why don't you think it's possible?
I think you might be misremembering. You know, like when everyone talks about how great the 90s are and they only remember the good parts, that's you. You're just remembering, you know... it's like everyone talks about the great music of the 90s. Well, they forget all the crappy songs. Right? So you're just remembering all the good parts of riding the bike. You don't remember all the tumbles.
I didn't have a tumble.
That's what you're saying.
I would specifically remember a tumble because I remember tumbling on rollerblades when I was a kid, but not a bike.
I feel like everyone's had to fall on a bike once.
I have not. I'm invincible on a bike. Sorry.
All right, Ryan, what was your bike training days like?
I mean, it was just as simple as my dad taking off the training wheels and like him holding on to me like shoulder to shoulder. And then I just pedaled down the street while he like
ran next to you.
I'm not ran next to me. He was like walking behind me while I like slowly pedal. And then I eventually just got let go of. And then I just go.
You know, it's actually it's kind of like a theme because I remember when my parents taught when my dad taught me how to swim. You know how he taught me how to swim? He threw me in a pool.
That's so white trashy. That is a theme. Your dad doesn't want to be bothered. You know that your dad. That doesn't teach someone how to swim. You know this.
I learned how to swim.
That's how you drown.
No, I learned how to swim. That's true. He took my swimmies off, and then he tossed me in the pool. He said, start kicking. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I became an elite swimmer.
Was it an above ground pool, too?
Yes, it was an above ground pool. It was in the shallow end.
Oh, that's great.
Now, there is a difference between most people hire an instructor to teach your kid how to swim, but that's more of a life and death thing. You know, so you get a pass with that. I think most kids take swimming lessons. You can also do them in groups.
And there's some like sort of technique to it, too.
There's definitely a lot of technique to it. And it's not as simple as riding a bike, which, again, is one of the easiest things to do.
Why is JP's daughter having such issues riding a bike?
Especially, I find it interesting that she's such a great swimmer, right? Yeah. She's on the swim team, and maybe this is why I'm making the connection.
She's on the swim team at 5, and it's an 8 and under swim. So obviously, she has some sort of athletic ability.
I just don't think they're patient enough. I think it takes most kids a few days to learn how to ride the bicycle. I think they gave it the old college try and wrapped up shop and decided to hire a professional.
How do you think about becoming a professional bike teacher?
I'm intrigued.
That is very intriguing, isn't it?
I mean, could there be an easier job?
you literally just bilk people out of $100 and you put them on the bike with a helmet.
I mean, that's an AWOD job. It takes no talent, no skill. There's, you know, they always talk about lack of skills or whatever in the workforce. You need no skills whatsoever.
All you're doing is thinking back to when you rode a bike.
A couple pointers here and there, and then you let the kid practice for a little bit.
Also, why?
I'm intrigued, though, about learning how to ride a bike in under an hour.
Also, when your kids, didn't you say the person's kids were like 12 years old?
Well, that was mega tilting. That was the most tilting part of the whole story. The neighbor who introduced JP to the Bike Whisperer said he hired the instructor for his kids who are age 12 and 9 to ride a bike.
That is bad.
If you are 9
and you don't know how to ride a bike,
that is an abomination. And 12 leaves me speechless.
I mean, that's almost grounds to for bullying.
12 is about the age where you stop riding bicycles.
Honestly, you're almost having sex when you're 12.
That's what they do in Pasadena.
You're getting ready to steal like your parents' minivan right now.
You are like phasing out of the riding bikes. Because that's when you sit in your house and play video games all day.
You're starting to get hair under your armpits.
Right.
That's embarrassing.
You're playing wiffle ball in the back. The riding the bike around those days are coming to an end. I'm totally missed out.
When you're 12, you're learning how to ride a bike with 3 people on it. You on the seat, the other person on the back pegs, and your other friend on the front handlebar.
Right. Yeah.
You're trying to ride to McDonald's for an ice cream cone in the summer.
Yeah. You can't hire an instructor to teach your kids how to. That's like hiring someone to come over and teach your son how to play catch or something.
Oh, that'd be
You know, there's just some things that dad has to do.
Yeah, don't you remember going out and your dad pitching you bat in practice in the backyard and everything? Now, can you imagine if it was like a pitching machine or if it was a total stranger throwing strikes to you?
It's Americana. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
You're supposed to do a couple of these things, especially as a dad. Is JP that hands off where he can't see this through? Or is this all his wife's doing?
I think it's mostly his wife's doing. Actually,
or she doesn't trust him.
Or
she doesn't think he can do it.
Or what about this? So JP is trying to teach, and then all of a sudden, because sometimes you know how JP can get into flame mode, and all of a sudden he starts flaming her about the bike teaching, maybe how it's not coming along, and something like that. And then she's just like, I'm done with this, and let's hire this guy. Let's hire this doll.
Do you think JP is a good teacher? A good instructor? At anything?
Well, I'm trying to think.
I don't
about
get
that.
A vibe. I don't get a good teacher vibe from him.
I don't really either, because JP's like almost like a perfectionist, right?
Who of the junkies would be the best teacher? Not necessarily riding a bike, but just has that ability to connect with children and is selfless.
Oh, that's a good question too.
I think EB, and I'm not just saying that because he's the bike guy. Cakes, I mean, his wife is a teacher. So Cakes definitely has the patience. I don't know if Cakes is giving enough.
And also, what does Cakes have to teach?
What does he know?
Yeah, I know, exactly. Cakes will teach you how to play poker.
No, but Cakes has taught us a lot about investing over the years.
That is true. He has. If it's in Cakes' wheelhouse, I feel like he's kind of a good teacher. But let's say if it's...
Jason, absolutely not. What do we know about Jason? He's in a verbally abusive softball dad.
Screaming at you in the outfield.
No way.
No way.
Yeah. The last person I'd want to teach you.
I envision Jason like J.K. Simmons in Whiplash.
EB, after golfing with EB, I'm getting an instructor vibe from him. He's got an eye for detail.
He's encouraging. He's the most encouraging, I would say.
And J.P., he's not last, but I don't get a great teacher vibe from him either because he makes everything about himself.
I get that vibe.
I would say JP because he's the perfectionist. Like, he's not going to miss any detail. He's just going to get it right down, textbook definition.
Yeah, but if you don't do it his way, if you don't do it to his standard, because JP could teach me Spanish, all right? But obviously, JP is better at Spanish than we will ever be. So because we are inferior to it, JP will be
get frustrated
and he'll be discouraged. That's at least my thinking.
I mean, he told Adam numerous times to give up on his career and get out of radio. Yeah.
You think that you don't want that
right? A good teacher. Do you know how many times JP has tried to get Adam to get a job with these Enron type companies that go in the toilet because it wants them out of radio?
Yeah.
Okay. I get it.
In my brain, I'm going EB number one, Cakes number two, because he's patient, JP three, Jason four.
I would say it seems like you would bother.
Jason's got to be really into it.
Yes.
You know, maybe he is a good softball coach. It wouldn't be any fun, but maybe you would learn a lot. But if Jason's not going to sit, is Jason going to sit down and teach you math? You know, come on, you can imagine.
Right, well, which junkie's going to sit down
I'm talking about multiplication or something like that. Something easy. Like, he's just not going to do that.
No. That makes me wish we had interns still.
We're missing teaching them
everything.
You know, I actually want to bring this up. I brought up interns to Valdez yesterday, and I want to give Ryan credit. I was jealous this week of the Stallion.
Oh, yeah?
And I was talking to Valdez about it. Maybe we can just kick this around for a few minutes. But we really are missing, and I don't mean this in an insulting way, a show punching bag on the junkies. Ryan this week was the star of the afternoon show on Grant and Danny, the show he works for, as they did a watermelon eating contest.
Yeah, that's a real Dave Portnoy ripoff right there.
No!
did you number them?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Well, explain what you were doing with watermelons this week.
I mean, like, we were just talking about watermelons on Monday, and I just blatantly said...
On or off air?
Off air. We were talking about it off air, and I was just blatantly talking about how I could eat more watermelons than anyone in the world. Like, I was very confident about that. I love watermelon. It's an easy thing to eat in the summer. It's watery, mm-hmm. like, you know.
Yeah.
And so... Wait,
let me hear your pizza review. All
right, see? And so then they're like, okay, like, put your money where your mouth is and let's do a watermelon eating contest. So I was like, okay, I'll do it on the show. And so here's what I said.
What was the contest?
Well, the contest, it was me against me. Like, I was going against myself. So originally the plan was that I would have to eat one watermelon in an hour. And I was like, guys, that's too long of a time. I'll pummel that.
A full watermelon.
And this was a seeded full watermelon, the biggest one possible. Grant was the one who bought it. And so
I like how I got seated ones. Too.
Exactly. Yeah, you got the seated ones. And so then I told him, I was like, give me 30 minutes and that thing will be done. It'll be done. And so they gave me 30 minutes from the start of the show.
And
so
you had to cut it up?
I had to cut it up myself. I cut up into four pieces.
So you didn't pre-cut it or anything like that?
I cut it literally on air.
You cut it into quarters.
Yep, I cut it into quarters. And that big watermelon here.
That's tough to eat.
I have a picture of it here that I can pull up. And so when I had to do that, I cut it into big four pieces, just so it was like a little triangle. Nah, actually not a triangle. I don't even know what
you
the
could
shape
take,
is.
You could take bites out of it.
Exactly, so it yeah. So you can kind of just go left to right and just
yeah, almost
make
like a
your
corn,
way
almost
down.
Almost like a corn on the cob situation.
And here, let me pull up this picture.
Do you have to like suck the
juice?
Like on the rind?
Here.
Like get it completely gone?
So that was one of the four pieces there.
Yeah, that's the like watermelon.
It was big. And look at all those seeds.
That's
there.
A lot of seeds. Know.
And then not only were there seeds like on the top, once you get down in there too, there are some down, like there's so many seeds. And so, yeah, I told him that I could finish one in about 30 minutes.
And did you?
I finished one in about 34 minutes, but they said it wasn't complete. They were like, oh, it's not, all the red isn't gone. They wanted it to be white.
Yeah,
down
yeah.
And I was like, all right.
Yeah, down
like,
to the suck it out. Yeah.
Like, so it was like 95% eaten in their world. So
that's a good bet, right?
Of course it is.
Why are we missing that kind of stuff on the Junkies right now? Is it because we don't have a show punch back? Is it because you and me think we're too good to be involved in being kicked around on the show?
All right. Well, do you think we've evolved or do you think we're...
No, we definitely haven't evolved.
Do you think we're beneath it?
We talked about morning wood for 20 minutes this week.
All right. Well, you want to do a morning wood contest?
No, but I do miss having an intern or someone on the show that's willing to... embarrassed, like go all out. Not that you and I aren't. I think you and I definitely are, but we have to have the stakes raised, I think, a little bit.
Well,
like, we don't want to go out there and, I don't know, put on a Maryland helmet and run headfirst into the wall like anyone would
well, do. Well, don't you remember the bet idea about eating horseradish?
Oh,
the Carson Wentz bet idea, something like that.
Yeah, stuff like that. But refresh my memory. What was the exact?
It was something along. Something along the lines of Carson not having a good year as Indy, and then all of a sudden, since St. Elmo's cocktail sauce is an Indy, he would chug horseradish.
Oh,
and why was it shot down?
Because there was no reciprocation. It was a one-sided bet. Eric wouldn't do anything.
The Junkies aren't going to do anything, right? I don't know how we got EB to do the fish slapping bit.
That was 10 years ago.
10 years ago, whatever. So they're 10 years more aged out of that. I think we could bully cakes into stuff.
I think so, too. But that's no fun when it's just so one-sided.
Cakes played the basketball... with Adam. No. Like, you and me are going to have to be involved. Like, I should have had... We always just make money bets. That's not any fun.
No, that is no fun.
Like, I made a $50 Wentz bet with EB. We should have been... We should change it to the horseradish. And $50.
So, but what's going to happen if none of the guys want to do any of the stuff? We're literally just doing stuff to do stuff now?
But some of the stuff in the past they didn't want to do. I think we've... Even why didn't we never get the pepperoni dip in here?
Right? Like, are you clamoring for pepperoni dip?
Like, we got the one clam dip, and that was it.
I don't know.
I think, first off, me and you need to follow through more on some of these ideas that we have. We do need to encourage the guys to do more of these bits. And I'm actually intrigued with the person that I was DMing with last night. Someone from Northern Virginia, and they heard us mention taking a testosterone test on the show.
Right, because Eric talked about having morning wood means that you have a healthy testosterone level.
Yeah, Vital Health of Northern Virginia tweeted us, and then I started DMing him, and he says that he wants to come in. This guy's also a diehard fan of the show. He's been listening forever, but he wants to do the testosterone count. And then I think he's offering some sort of treatment for whoever. Yeah. Or if whoever needs it.
Hey, I'm all in on that.
And I told him, I said, look, Jason said on the show, he's not going to do it.
All right. Well, Jason can just go sit in the corner and sulk while we all have fun.
Wouldn't that be embarrassing for him? That'd be a bad look for the show if we're doing show bit and everyone's in on it.
Well, then what are we supposed to do?
Do it while, maybe do it while he's on vacation? And I don't know.
He could do it.
I don't even know what a T-test. I think you have to prick your finger.
All right, I don't mind doing that.
Right. And then but this is the machismo bet. Right? Like if low T, that's what
you know, this is what I would do. I would say I have more testosterone than you.
All right.
And we do a bunch of side bets.
We all know that Cakes has the lowest.
Yeah,
T.
Cakes. Does anyone else think that JP could beat Cakes in a low T contest?
All right. So whoever has the most testosterone.
All right.
What do they get?
What do they get?
A steak dinner. Steak and potatoes. Yes.
A ribeye. Yeah. So much fat and blood.
Yeah. All right.
You look like the Liver King. All right. Just eating red meat.
We have Tim Seymour coming here. Yeah. From whatever restaurant he's working at. He brings in one steak.
All right. And no fork and no knife. All right. So you eat it like a caveman. All right, you just take a big hunk of it.
And whoever has the lowest T.
All right. Noodles.
Wet noodles.
For their noodle. All
right. I like this. All right,
we get some Alfredo. Uh-huh. All right, and you got these limp, wet noodles that they got to slurp up.
Okay. I like it. All right, well, let's pitch it. We'll pitch it to the guys. I got to talk to this guy some more.
All right, and then Jason can go sit.
Jason can just
he can just take the day off.
No, he can take the whatever. He can. Well, why doesn't Jason want to have fun with that kind of stuff?
I don't know. He just does. I guess he just doesn't want to be embarrassed. He thinks it's embarrassing.
But wouldn't it be more embarrassing to sit there and not participate?
I don't know. I don't know what goes through his head.
What is there to be embarrassed about, though, after he's like, oh, I will have the lowest? He said it. Like, who cares?
Trust me, I don't get it, because he says constantly how he has zero drive and zero T.
Yeah, so, and also this guy, I think a lot of this is connected to possibly depression and getting your vitals right and correcting those. So it's probably all, he definitely needs to be doing this, whether it's on the air or not. He should be involved some way. Maybe he just wants to do it off air.
I don't know. I would like to go throughout the entire station. do a whole totem pole.
Landfill. Yeah. B-niche. What happens if we get more T?
Oh, my God.
That guy's a ball filled with testosterone walking around here.
I like it. We'll invite those guys in for sure.
Of course.
Do that.
All right. And then whoever wins gets steak and potatoes. I like that. All right. Well, we actually think we might be doing that sooner than later. I'll look at Jason's vacation schedule, see what he's out.
Is he a bald head again?
Ryan was super excited today for the 4th of July, and he had a couple questions for you and me, and we'll get to that after the break.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
She said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Quickest break in radio right there.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what did you think of JP taking shots at Bit Season this week?
Oh, this is what I don't like about when JP does that, is he has no idea what's going on.
No frame of reference.
Yeah, zero frame of reference.
Tell people if they missed it.
I guess Jason was puffing out his chest, pumping out his chest that the Picking Fatties podcast is like they were used as a model.
There's the third most new listeners to Odyssey podcast. Yes.
That's like saying I'm number one in men 36 to 46 who live in Northern Virginia.
That's great. I mean, it's obviously a lot of people who probably listen to the Junkies. They're, you know, unfortunately not into Bit Season, because if they were into Bit Season, they wouldn't be new listeners.
That's true.
So that new true. IPs that are coming in and downloading the show. They're also promoting it in other markets, which is cool. So that's probably where a lot of it's coming from. So Jason's Picking Fatties is off to a good start as a podcast, not as a handicappers, but congrats to them.
Their download numbers superior picking numbers.
But then JP took a dig at, I don't even remember how Bit Season came up. But
Jason say it was a top three podcast.
Oh, because that's, and JP misunderstood the new users part.
Yeah,
and then JP goes, sounds like it's drubbing Bit Season.
Yeah, better than Bit Season.
Which I know, right. Picking Fatty's numbers, and they're doing well. Bit Season is a monster. Okay? Yes.
We're a juggernaut.
We are a juggernaut. And you guys should be advertising on this show. Send us a DM.
Also, do you know what else I didn't like JP, or not JP, but Jason... All of the guys say, just subscribe to the show.
Oh, and don't listen.
Yeah, he's like, we don't care if you listen. Just subscribe to the show.
Yeah,
on the other hand, us, the Biddies, we are an interactive family.
We crave the ADs.
Of course. We want you hanging on every single word you say.
We appreciate when you guys tell us what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show, and not just, you know, whatever. If you download the show and you're not really listening to it, that's fine, I guess. But we're doing the show for you guys, because think you enjoy it.
You know what? We had a biddy say they are thankful for the show during their Thanksgiving prayer.
How many
Picking Fatties people are doing that?
Probably not. All right. Speaking of holidays, Ryan came up today to me and he goes, it's almost the 4th of July, huge holiday. What are you going to eat? I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
4th of July gets a lot of run, doesn't it?
It does.
Because, I mean, we're a festive show. We usually cover all the holidays. And this is a big holiday, because there's a ton of stuff going on this weekend.
Yeah, we do. This is, I think, number two on my list. I think Valdez... He's not as high on 4th of July as you.
I for some reason I like Memorial Day better.
Yeah, so tilting.
It's fine. But I mean, you get the long weekend though this time around. I think that's why you like Memorial Day weekend, right? Because you get the 3-day weekend automatically.
I like its significance as the start of the summer. I like the radio countdowns.
Okay. This isn't that long of a 4th of July. Ryan's new. He doesn't understand.
Yeah, he doesn't understand.
You haven't had the reps on the 4th of July. Yeah,
you wait till you get July 5th off, too. You haven't lived till you had July 5th off.
Well, I mean, let's start getting July 4th off first, Rap. I was asked to work July 4th. So I don't get the 3-day weekend. Drad texts me, hey, man, is it...
What an asshole.
He's like, hey, man, is it cool if you work July 4th?
Hey, 1 of the 6 doesn't turn the signal off on holidays. Someone's got to turn the microphones on.
Hey, this man's getting ready to tell you how much he loves the holiday.
Yeah. And
what do you think the worst shift work is on the 4th of July?
On the worst shift?
Yeah.
The one during the fireworks.
Ryan's working 3 to 8 p.m. carrying all of the barbecues.
So, yeah,
you know what? When you're done, you can race home in the middle of the D.C. traffic during the fireworks. To go eat some cold hot dogs.
I'm so bitter about it.
Hey, keep that grill warm.
Why did you tell me no? I offered. I said, Ryan, would you mind? Because you know what my thinking was? Ryan's part time. I didn't want to take hours away from him because otherwise he's not going to get paid for that day. So, and if he works the 4th of July, I believe you get time and a half.
Sure, I think I do, but like, still, I like a day off every now and then. And then if I said no,
what'd you do yesterday?
Like, what did I get yesterday for what?
No. Speaking of day off, what did you do yesterday?
I was at the Nats game.
Okay,
but we're still working though. We were working.
Oh, yeah. How many beers did you have during work yesterday?
I had no beers. But I'm there. I'm working.
I saw Ryan go to the ball game at 12:30 yesterday.
All right, let's head to the bullpen.
Okay, and he came back and did a 45-minute show before overtime took over.
Okay.
I like the idea of Ryan just showing up after his shift, and it's all night, and he opens the cooler, and it's all water, and he has a bunch of Frescas floating around because nobody drinks them.
Yeah. Mango Trulies.
Okay, come on. I like a mango truly every now and then.
Yeah, well, they're the last one to get drank.
Hey, Ryan, we ran out of all these delicious brats. But we do have some SK hot dogs for you.
Yeah, the dogs are getting the brats before I do at that point.
He has the potato salad and all the potatoes are picked through. It's all mayonnaise.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So, yeah, I have to work July 4th this weekend. It's going to stink. But whatever. So here's what I was saying. We're a very festive show. Okay. And I feel like we all need to talk about our July 4th platter because this is a big weekend for food and beer and whatever you want. We've talked about this stuff all the time. I just need to know what you guys are going to be having on your July 4th spread.
Well, it's standard to have hot dogs.
Is there some sort of exotic fare that I don't know about that people are eating on 4th of July?
Well,
aren't we all crushing the same three things?
What is it?
It's hot dog and hamburger.
Hot dogs, hamburgers, Lay's potato chips, maybe some deviled eggs,
barbecue chicken.
Salad,
barbecue chicken?
Not for me.
No. That's... You don't have any barbecue chicken.
What are you guys missing out on here? Like, that's the wrong question. You guys are missing out right now.
What,
that
barbecue
is crazy.
Chicken?
Yes.
I don't even know what barbecue chicken exactly is. What does that mean? Like a thigh? Yeah. You're putting a thigh on the grill?
Yeah, like a drumstick on the drill and on the grill. And
then slathering
just
it in
barbecue sauce.
I could see grilled wings on the grill. I could see that.
That stinks.
Do that?
That doesn't... Wait. How did that stink?
I don't like barbecue sauce and I don't like eating turkey legs.
What about ribs? I could do ribs.
Smoked ribs are a good holiday.
Ribs.
Good holiday July 4th meal.
You know you need on July 4th? This is necessary. Is you need somebody to roll in with that case of Bud Heavies.
You're not going to make it
like a Bud Heavy. Yeah.
You're not going to make it to the fireworks show if you're crushing Bud Heavies at 2 p.m.
You know, you got to pace yourself.
I know. Those wipe you out.
They do. They take away your energy. You
What about crabs? Isn't crabs a big day?
July 4th?
I would think that is the king crab day, 4th of July.
I've never had crabs on 4th of July.
Oh, really? I don't know. I'm not up to speed. When do you guys...
You get crabs whenever.
Hey, what do you think of that Waterman with a million TikTok followers?
it made me smile. You want to know why it made me smile?
Why?
Because number one, we have great ideas.
We do.
We
follow
really
through
do.
Is our problem.
Yeah, the problem is we lack any kind of motivation to follow through.
I know.
And this guy, I swear, this kid must have been a listener. Because he started his TikTok just about crabbing and picking crabs and where to find all the great crabs. The kid's from Pasadena.
He is?
Yes, he's from Pasadena, Maryland.
For whatever reason, like I think the WBAL or whatever the TV station is up there did a story on
Channel 11 News, WBAL.
So it's all over social media about this guy from Balto. He's a kid. He looks like he's about 18.
No, he's 24 years old. His name's Luke McFadden. And I actually think I know him.
How did Luke McFadden get a crabbing license, B, a boat? I thought all that stuff was tough to get. Like, you can't just walk out on the water in the bay and become a crabber.
His parents have a boat, probably.
Oh, okay.
And then you can probably crab, but in terms of commercial crabbing, like, he's probably not getting 10 bushels of crabs. He's setting up a nub stand outside of his
house. Explain how this works to me, because he was saying that for one day a year on 4th of July, he'll eat his crabs. He said, I follow Biggie. I don't get high on my own supply, right? I'm like, you only treat yourself to crabs one day a year? Like, you're out there I'd be eating them all the time.
Same, man.
And then I was
I looked down on him. He's not even eating the crabs.
Yeah, like what's? It didn't. The job didn't look that silly.
No, it's not.
He was driving some beater.
Okay. It's like a perfect storm.
Why are crabs so expensive?
When Clooney and Wahlberg are going out there risking their life for some tuna.
What I mean, who's making all the money?
Who's making all the money?
Crabs are butt expensive. If they the waterman's expensive. Not making all the money.
The waterman's making money, but also the restaurant needs their cut too. Crabs are expensive.
I know, but this guy, he looked like he had a million crabs in the back of his truck. And he can't take a couple for himself. The margins are that tight.
I guess so. Apparently he's selling them on the side of the road too.
Yeah. I actually felt really bad for you. He goes, "Oh, looks like my friend got me a gift here. He hand carved me this 1 million followers wood piece, right?" And he goes, "I can't believe it. 1 million followers in under a year." Valdez had this idea like 18 months ago.
Yeah, I had this idea about a year and a half ago. You can probably still follow it on TikTok. The name's Jumbo Lump. All right. Yeah. The greatest crab name in the world. And it was going to be about picking crabs, all of my secrets in the crabbing biz, where you can go to find all the crab hot spot in Pasadena. And this guy actually followed through on it, and now he's a huge success. now he's basically like Kelsey Flame.
I mean, it's unbelievable that you had the idea. And
I told you, we didn't follow up.
I know. We're idea guys.
Exactly.
I think you just got to mark your territory in the Twitterverse. I think if you do that, you'll find your way to blow up. You don't have to do TikTok. It's fine.
Nobody's blowing up on Twitter anymore.
Yes, they are.
You
got
to be a blue check mark, a baseball journalist or something.
No.
You got to be John Boy.
Hey, what is it? You have TikTok, right?
Here, go,
see how my account's doing.
Oh, God. You deleted the app.
Yeah, I deleted the app. It's hard to get followers.
You really did punch out. I'll say you had the greatest teaser video of all.
Hey, what, it was like Entourage. Remember Entourage when they had the Medellin trailer and they were going to sell it because it looked so silly and the movie was crap? That's basically my TikTok.
Honestly, you have 445 followers for only one. That's for one post. That's pretty damn good.
Hold on, let me see my post.
All right, 443. Coming soon, and it's a picture of Valdez picking crabs and some rolling footage of old timey crab feast.
Sitting in the rain with an umbrella.
Said the date. You technically haven't started yet. You also don't have a license to go out on the bay and crab as a professional, which I'm guessing this guy does, right?
I mean, you can crab as just a civilian going out there and doing that, but I mean, I don't know what he's hauling in or anything like that. So I don't know if he has a commercial crabbing license or anything.
They'd never catch you, anyways.
Oh no! Oh, you want to hear? You want to hear a story?
Let me hear it.
All right. Back when I was a little Valdez, my dad and I and my brother, we would go crabbing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We had the best spot for the biggest crabs, and it's Bakken Point. I'm just going to share that with everybody.
All right.
But my dad liked to kind of skirt the law every now and then.
All right. I feel like he does that a lot.
No. So when you go crabbing, you're supposed to have crabs at a particular size. If they're less than X inches, then you got to throw them back because they're not mature enough and you shouldn't be hauling them in. But my dad, every now and then, used to have a couple of tiny ones because he wanted to fill out a bushel. So the Coast Guard goes up and down the Magathie and up and down the bay. And when they see people crabbing, what they'll do is they'll stop and they'll check their supply, make sure that they're adhering to the wildlife rules and the wildlife laws in the state of Maryland. So my dad saw a Coast Guard boat speeding up towards him as we were pulling traps out.
Right? Yeah.
And so my dad looked at me and my brother. He turned to us with his with his butt heavy in his hand, and he says,
"Dump him."
He goes, "You guys got to dump the loot. All right, you gotta get rid of the supply." It was like Ray Liotta's wife in Goodfellas. We're dumping coke in the toilet. All right, so we're getting ready to dump the crabs. All right, the crabs back into the oceans, so my dad doesn't get this $1,000 fine for having too small of crabs in his basket. And then before we get ready to dump it out, he goes, no, just the small ones. All right.
How big they got to be again?
I think they got to be like 6 inches from claw to claw. No, from tip to tip on the shell.
Okay.
All right. So he says, no, just the small ones. So I had to take my bare hand as the boat was speeding up towards us, dip it into the basket, have a billion of these crabs clawing and pinching at my hand and at my wrist, all to get these 3-inch baby crabs out of the basket so that my dad wouldn't get $1,000 fine from the Coast Guard. I'll never forget that. And you know what? He got away with it. He skirted the law.
That's a great story.
All because we were.
I feel like you guys did that a lot.
Dump the supply.
Yeah.
That's funny, man.
Oh, God.
All right, Ryan, back to the 4th of July. Yes. Let me ask you. Back to Oz Valdez. Valdez, watermelon or corn on the cob?
Oh, you're making me choose one or the other?
You can only have one.
Corn on the cob. 9, 10 times out of 10. I actually think watermelon is decent, very overrated.
Oh, come on. Now, watermelon's a perfect summer treat. Honestly, I think corn on the cob is overrated because you can't even get the butter inside of it. It's all like connected. There's no openings to get the butter inside of the corn on the cob.
What do you mean butter inside of it? You don't have butter inside.
You have butter in like shredded corn.
I've never heard of anyone finding it difficult to butter a cob of corn.
It stinks that
Looking
way.
Looking at you, it looks like you butter a lot.
Right. This is what you do.
You get
a stick of butter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, you leave it out, you put it on the porcelain tray.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Put the
things on the corn of the cob.
And then you rotate it on the butter. Through the stick of butter. You get it all, it's sopping with butter. And a little salt and pepper. Yeah.
But it's just
I do Old Bay.
It's not on the inside. I want it on the inside, not on the outside. I'm particular. I'm picky.
Inside the kernel? I don't understand.
Yes, that's what you do with shredded corn.
You can't inject butter into the ear of corn.
If you shred the corn, yes, you can. You can just put it in the bowl and mix it around, and it'll all get in the corn.
Oh,
and
he's like a flavorful child. He has to have his mommy cut the kernels off the corn.
I just want it shredded. It's just how I like it. I don't know.
Hey, he is a child.
You know, you're so unsophisticated. Hey, when you're eating your corn,
yeah.
All right, do you rotate in a circle or do you go?
I like to go down the line.
Yeah, down the line, then go down.
Sweet corn greater than white corn.
Oh, of course.
I mean, I'll eat white corn.
Hey, how many ears of corn do you think you could eat?
Look, can I tell you something? I'm a corn on the cob shucking master. I mean, so I love all things to brag about.
So when you go to the store, you can pick out the ones that are going to be good, and you're...
Yeah, well, you got to peek inside to see if there's any worms in them. But I've told you this before. We had sausage fest, an Oktoberfest at my school, and they made the kids on the Friday of sausage fest go out there, and they brought a dump truck full of corn, and all the little Catholic school third graders had to go out there and shuck corn for 3 hours. So I feel like I could shuck with the bus.
That's the most like country hoodlum thing I've ever heard.
You sound like an indentured servant.
Yeah, we were.
All right, son, get in there and you shuck that corn.
All right, but I have a sweet spot for corn on the cob, much better than watermelon. Watermelon.
Would you say watermelon's overrated? Like I do.
I think people like it more than I do.
You know it's under.
I never go to the store and buy a big old melon.
Underrated summer fruits.
Tell me,
honeydew.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can get behind that as well.
And a nice, perfectly ripened cantaloupe.
Oh, yes.
Greater than honeydew.
Oh, yeah, of course. But
cantaloupes are silly.
Mm-hmm. Cantaloupes are the bomb.
Do you know how to cut a cantaloupe? Can you get that nice little slice?
I think, don't you like do it in half? Then you got to de-seed it and then.
I think so, yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever cut a cantaloupe. I
just, cantaloupe looks, is actually, it's succulent compared to watermelon. Watermelon is like for peasants.
It's, I mean, there's nothing
just,
to it.
It's like just all juicy. Yeah. Cantaloupe
is like liquefies.
Yeah.
Cantaloupe's got some meat on it.
Yes.
Well,
it's almost a sensual fruit.
You just have to get the watermelon fresh. That's what you guys are missing. You guys let it sit in the fridge and let all the water just get all wiped away.
You know what else I don't like about this, the whole watermelon trend that's going on? Is
watermelon's a trend?
I don't know. I see it all the time. Is that all of these reels are putting putting watermelon with feta cheese and you're making these salads and everything. That's not a salad.
Yeah.
It actually looks disgusting.
Hey, you know what I can't wait to have this weekend is the American flag cake.
Oh.
All right, where you have the blueberries in the upper left-hand corner. Uh-huh.
And then you have the strawberries.
Strawberries at the
and it's on like cream cheese. It's on like a shortbread or it's like whipped cream on top.
It's the only thing my wife makes. This is at the top of my cookout list. All right. Actually, are we allowed to say cookout? I feel like you can only black guys can say cookout. I feel like we're not
hip enough.
We
to
have
say
to cook- say barbecue. All
right? I've said cookout before.
I don't think cookouts are for us unless we get invited. Right, you get invited to the cookout. It's slang. I think it's slang for the black community. We get 4th of July parties.
Barbecue. Right, what about to go plate?
No, we can't say that either. Because that's their terminology.
What if your party is multicultural, mixed?
Then it's not a cookout. A cookout is run by African American community, right? And they are not, and they're eating. Never mind.
Easy.
I wasn't even going to say what you think I was going to say, but that was a bad road to go down, and I'm stopping myself.
Hey, you know what? If you're African American, all right. If you're black. Mm-hmm. Why don't you invite us, the Bit Season, to your cookout?
I would love to. We'd be.
What do you think?
You think D Woods isn't going to have a silly cookout on Monday?
I want to go to D Woods' cookout.
So do I.
What's on their menu, Dre?
I'm not doing that.
Hey, what could we bring?
What could we bring to wow them?
Yeah, exactly. We want to be invited to future cookouts. So what would be on the Bit Season menu that we would bring to D Woods?
This is why we need a show sheet with topics on it that we don't stray away from.
All right. So, since we are three, I feel it's necessary that we bring a food and drink.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe we'll do a dessert. Would you want to do a dessert?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think I could get somewhere with that American flag. Sure I can.
Here's what I would bring chocolate chip cookies. No one would go wrong with that. They'd love that.
You know what? Chocolate chip cookies.
Who doesn't love a chocolate chip cookie?
Who doesn't love that?
All right, what about you get we make cupcakes for dessert. Oh, and we make chocolate cupcakes with vanilla frosting to signify our unity.
All right, I like that. Cupcakes. All right.
Okay. It's almost like the black and white cookie thing on Seinfeld. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And
harmony.
Harmony. We have a chocolate bottom, vanilla frosting, red, white, and blue jimmies.
What are jimmies?
Just sprinkles.
Oh, sprinkles, yeah.
All right, we'll bring that, and we'll bring our Bud Heavies.
The American flag beer can.
It's not bad.
I like it. All right, D Woods, and you know what? That's embarrassing. I feel like he's our token black guy.
we're saying it in jest.
I can't think of anything else to bring. I'm not on my game here.
All right. Well, we'll stick to the cupcakes.
Stick to the cupcakes.
Stick to the cookie.
And the Budweiser.
Hey, tomorrow, what time is it? We just started. Yeah, about, we've been going at it for an hour. So, hey, tomorrow, what are you going to wear in on the, to hey, celebrate the 4th of July?
I have a red, white, and blue Trump National Golf shirt.
No Trump stuff. I know. We're unifying everyone.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that it's the golf course.
I know.
But I have red, white, and blue outfit that I have picked out.
You know what I'm wearing?
Uncle Sam hat.
No, I'm wearing my Sasquatch sweatshirt with the American flag. Hopefully it's a little chilly tomorrow morning.
You look like an 8-year-old child.
You guys
are like an LL Bean,
right?
Something like that.
Yeah. No, Eddie Bauer.
You guys want to know what I'm wearing for July 4th?
Sure. Yeah.
What do you?
My 106.7 polo, because Drab's bending me over backwards on Monday, and I have to work the 3-to-8 shift.
Hey, you know what? This country was founded on the backs of hardworking Americans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're one of those hardworking Americans.
Hey, you gotta put your time in, right?
Yeah. Hey, this is what I'm gonna do. Is we'll live stream some bottle rockets for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll crack open a cold one in your honor.
Yeah. Hey, all right, I'll take it.
You know what I'll do is, on Monday, I'll tune in and I'll check in to see if you're breaking on time.
It will give you some pointers.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Have a happy 4th of July. We love our biddies out there. Thank you for listening. Make sure to play it at the cookout this weekend.
Yeah. You know what?
Tune people into the show. All right.
Yeah, this is great cookout material.
100%
to be playing.
Absolutely.
Screw the top 500 countdowns that all the oldie stations are playing.
This is a classic 4th of July of top 500. Hey, and remember, the Bruce Springsteen song,
Born in the USA,
is an anti-American song, or it's an anti-war song.
Yeah, if you're playing Born in the USA.
Don't take that off your playlist, all right?
Yeah, that's great. You know what? Here's a fantastic point that you just made.
You need
to start playing some Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Okay. Some CCR.
Oh, yeah. This is a big CCR.
I'd like you to play
Kid Rock, Big Kid Rock Weekend.
Big Kid Rock. Mm-hmm. And I'd also like you to play Juvenile, Back That Ass Up. Nothing more American than that.
I like to think about Martha Custis twerking her on George Washington in 1777.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Have a great holiday. We'll see you next week on Bit Season and tomorrow on The Junkies. Take care.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now I'm sharing it all. Join me for unfiltered talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.